We're in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles today. Simultaneously. We're in the Bible in 8 ages. We're on page 64 in my book. Okay? Page 64 in my book. All right. So be sure and bring that. Also, I wrote this book here years ago. Back when I was in the seminary, we had to memorize the Bible in subject. In the Old Testament and New Testament. So, I wrote this book. And it has the subjects and everything. In this book, you'll see Ruth. Okay, if you've got one of these, we've got some back here if you want one. But she doesn't have one of these. Mike, can you go back there and that thing? There's some of these back there. If somebody needs to look at one of these or have one.
No, from the book of... from the...
Oh, the Bible in 8 ages. There is a Bible in 8 ages back there, Brother Mike. See if you can find a workbook. Bible in 8 ages workbook. If you need a Bible in 8 ages workbook, please fill one out. But what I want to show you here, under, we have Ruth. Okay? We studied Ruth last week, remember? The last 2 weeks. Okay? And that was the... I loved the teaching that class. That was great. And then we have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. We have 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now, what about all of these six books? All right? What about these six books? And we're on page, like I said, page 64. What page is your page in your book? Where it says... chapter 17, the judge, and then all the judges are listed, and then it has number 12. What page is that on? 63. Your page is number 63. Okay, because mine are a little bit different than yours. All right? And we're going to get into this in a minute, but I want to tell you something. All six of those books run simultaneously. If you have a chronological Bible, okay, you'll find out that it'll go from 1 Kings to 2 Kings to 1 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, and they'll just run together in a chronological Bible. Okay? You'll see all of that. You'll even see Joshua in there and Psalms. All of these, you'll see that in your chronological Bible. Chronological Bible, what does that mean?
According to time.
According to time. They put the things according to time. Also, in the book of Genesis here, in a chronological Bible, it'll take you back. It'll first verse you're going to find in the chronological Bible. What's the oldest verse in the Bible?
John 1 and 1.
That's the first thing you're going to see in a chronological Bible is John 1 and 1. All right? And then you'll see Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, where God created the heavens and the earth. Also, you'll have Genesis 1 and 1, and then you'll have Job, and you'll have Isaiah, and the different places that quote about Satan rebelling. Well, in the chronological Bible, it'll keep you in order. Now let's look at this. We're going to get into our syllabus here in just a minute. 1 Samuel, who is the author? We don't know. All right. 2 Samuel, who's the author? We don't know. All right. 1 Kings and 2 Kings, who's the author?
We don't know.
All right. 1 Chronicles. Maybe Ezra edited it. Okay. And then 2 Chronicles, maybe Ezra edited it. That's what we know about it. It's talking about the history of, it starts in the judges and then goes into the kings where, you know, Saul was the first king of Israel, wasn't he? All right? Now, let's look at some of the things that we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And on page 63 in your book, it said, how did God punish all these people, the nations of Israel, when they got in trouble and sinned? How did God punish them? Remember that? We're under Eli and Samuel still in the Judges. Under 1 and 2 Samuel, we're under Eli and Samuel. Okay? We're still in Judges. When Israel sinned and did wrong, God would send nations to punish them, wouldn't he? All right? So they punished. They were corrected. And then they would repent, and then God would send a redeemer, typified of Christ, that's going to redeem us. Okay? Now, on number 14 now, in your syllabus, it says, the children of Israel became dissatisfied with being ruled by judges and demanded a king as the other nations. How did Samuel warn them? All right? That's one thing we're going to look at. But we got to put some other foundation ground first. Okay? We're going to find. I want you to look up in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Write that down. 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 8. But in the meantime, we're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to look at some things. A different story here. I wish I had a better pulpit thing here. This thing needs more of a lip on it. All right, verse number one. Anyone there? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 1. Brother David, are you over there? Got your Bible open?
Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Sophon, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. The son of Jeroboam, the son of Eliu. Son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, and Ephraim, and Ephraim.
Okay. All right.
Go on.
No, they're right there. There's a lot to look at here. Okay. We got a lot of names in here. Names. Do names mean anything in the Bible, Sister Abby?
Oh yeah.
They mean a lot, don't they? Let's look and see what it says here now. All right. These names. Ephraim, we know what that means. We looked at that before. Elkanah. What do you think Elkanah might mean? In the Hebrew, what does that mean?
El.
In English, El. What does that mean?
Elohim.
That means God.
God.
Okay, that's God. Okay, that's God. So his name's got God in it. All right, Elkanah, that means that God possesses, or God possesses or owns him, okay? God owns him. And then we have a name of Jeroham, or Jeroham. That means loved. All right, that means loved. Then we have the word Elihu. All right, Elihu. Elihu, that means God himself. Do you think they might have known God? Been acquainted with God, the way these names are used here? And then we have Tohu, which means humility and discretion. And then Zuth, which means honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
There was a song about honeycomb a long time ago, wasn't it? Honeycomb? Yeah. Anyway, and then...
The Ephraimite.
All right, we know what Ephraim means. And then it says in verse number 2 now. Verse number 2. Brother Mikey over there, verse number 2.
And he had two wives. The names of one was Hannah, and the other... And the name of the other... Penina.
All right. Hannah and Penina. Hannah means grace.
Grace.
All right. Hannah means grace. And Penina, what do you think that name might mean? Anybody know? That means coral.
Coral?
Coral. by coral in the ocean. Now, what is coral like?
Rough.
It's rough and what? Abrasive. All right. It is sharp, abrasive. All right. All right. Let's look and see now. Hannah and Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. All right. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Number three, Sister Anzino.
This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and what is the
Phinehas. Phinehas. All right. Bonnie and Hophni. Phinehas.
Phinehas. The priests of the Lord were there.
Okay, now these are the two sons of Eli. Now we're going to find out about these sons, all right? Hophni. Hophni means strong. All right, Hophni means strong. And the other's name, Phinehas, means oracle. An oracle. So, when Eli named these sons, he thought about one that was strong like God and the other one like an oracle. He was thinking good thoughts when he named these boys, okay? These boys, we find out, didn't quite turn out so good. All right? Now it says the Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts? Jehovah what?
Jehovah
Sabaoth. That's the Lord of hosts. The Lord of armies. Okay? Now, here we have a say. We have two women that's married to one guy. And one of them's name means... rough, abrasive, a coral, and the other one means grace. All right? Now, which one do you think is going to be the one that's the favorite in the eyes of God?
Grace.
Grace. All right, grace. Simple as that. All right? Names mean a lot. And it said he went up from year to year. Now, verse number four. Brett, have you got your Bible?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. And Joseph, have you got a Bible? You want to get Bible too? We're going. And this young lady right here now, do you have your
Jessica. Verse 4?
Number 4. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peniah and to all his sons and daughters. To all her sons and daughters.
Uh-huh. All right. He'd give meat to Peniah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Now, this girl had a lot of children, okay? We're in 1 Samuel number 1 and verse number 5. And then it says there, what did he do for this, Jessica, what did he do for this other girl, this woman that didn't have any children?
He gave a double portion.
He gave a double portion.
He loved her.
For he loved her.
Yeah.
All right, he loved her. He gave a double, of course he loved her, Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. All right, she didn't have any children. Now remember back at this time, if a woman didn't have any children, they thought God was not pleased with them. That God, they thought God was they were in disfavor with God, that they just, there was something wrong. Okay? But this guy, he loved his wife, and so he'd give her a double portion. He wanted her to get fat. You have to realize back then that fat girls were pretty. That's what they thought. They liked.
The fat girls aren't pretty anymore?
Well, I mean, well, according to our American society, fat women aren't pretty today. Everybody wants to be a skinny beanpole.
You're saying he had a thing for fat chicks?
All of those people loved fat women back then.
Oh, nice.
A fat woman were more lovable, and they looked healthy. The skinny ones didn't look very healthy. All right? They didn't think much of skinny women.
Mom went to a cell phone.
All right? That's the way they looked at it. This is the Oriental culture now, okay? Oriental culture. Number 6, Fred. 1 Samuel 1 and number 6.
Okay.
All right.
The Lord killeth and maketh. No, that's not the right one, is it?
No.
Okay. And her adversary also provoked her sore for her to make her fret because the Lord had shut her womb.
Okay. Her rival, however, would pester her, insult her.
Gouge her.
Provoke her.
Okay? Bitterly. And irritate her. Because the Lord has sold her womb. God had done this to her. You are a bad... Something's wrong with you, girl. God has sold your womb, and you are a bad person. All right? And he said that over and over again. This girl just kept on saying, look how many children I got. I'm good. God loves me. He don't like you. and she fulfilled her name, didn't he? What was her name now?
Coral.
Or abrasive, or coarse, or rough. Okay? Number seven, Brother Billy, you over there?
Yep. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat.
So she'd go to church, and what'd she do when she went to church, Joanne?
She wouldn't eat,
and she was sad all the time she was in the house of the Lord. They'd go up to worship God, and this woman would insult her over and over again, every year. When she went to church, she got insulted. That's what she got. She got insulted. Joanne, number eight.
What's the matter, Hannah? Elphina would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be so sad just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?
All right, I'm going to take care of you. I love you. I mean, as long as I live, you're going to have the best. Okay? Because I love you. All right? Remember the book of Ruth? The book of Ruth.
Ruth is good looking.
Ruth meant good looking. That's what her name meant. Was good looking. All right? And Ruth was a type of what, Sister Andino? Ruth was a type of what?
Right.
Of the bride of Christ, which is the church. All right? And Solomon, the Song of Solomon, he loved his bride. And the Song of Solomon, his bride is a type of the church. Now, here we go again. All right? This God is going to take care of, and he's going to feed, and he's going to cherish his bride. Okay? Here we have it again now. And number nine, Joanne.
Once when they were at Shiloh, Hannah went over to the tabernacle after supper to pray to the Lord. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance.
Marilyn. Number ten.
And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore.
All right, she was greatly distressed. And she prayed to the Lord and just crying uncontrollably. That's what it said. She kept on crying uncontrollably. All right? And then number 11, Brother Brett, I'm going to let you read the key verse.
All right.
Okay?
And she vowed a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
You know, I told my wife last night, she told me how she was going to give me a haircut, and I said, I'm going to let my hair grow long again, like I did a long time ago. I'm going to have long hair. And you know what she did to me? She almost jumped me. I mean, she went to town. I mean, it's closer than ever before. You make sure it was going to be for a while yet. All right. No razor will come upon his head. What is this a type of? Or a figure of?
Nazarite.
He's a Nazarite. What does a Nazarite mean?
He had long hair.
Nazarite had long hair. When you saw a Nazarite, you knew there went a person that was dedicated to God. Okay? But what was a Nazarite a type of?
What was a Nazarite?
A type of?
Of the priest.
Okay. Now, he was a priest, could only be of the tribe of Levi, couldn't he? Okay? But a Nazarite was a volunteer priest, so he laid aside all of his privileges of being not a priest. A priest never had any property. Never. They didn't have any property. Couldn't have a farm or anything. You know, they lived off of the the offerings of God's people. All right? But now this Nazarite, he is going to take on all the responsibilities if he was a priest. In service. There's a difference. A priest in service had more responsibilities and more restrictions than he had when he was out of service. When he was there serving in the tabernacle, that priest had to swear off of lots of different things that he would normally eat at home. Okay? He could not do that while he was there. So the Nazarite was taking a voluntary vow, and it only not only was a voluntary vow, he had to offer a sacrifice. So she said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you all of his life, and he will be a Nazarite. He can't ever be a priest, but he'll be a Nazarite. Regardless, he'll be like a priest. Okay? So this is a special birth. This is what we're going to call a miraculous birth, Brother Bill. A miraculous. There are lots of miraculous births in the Bible, aren't there?
Yes.
Where God intervened. So now, this woman was supposedly despised of God. Okay? She had been despised of God according to her husband's other wife. Now she's going to be favored by God. Very much favored. Okay? Number 12, Sister Andino.
And it happened that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth.
All right. She kept on praying. This is imperfect. She kept on praying before the Lord. She didn't pray a falling water cracker prayer and then go home. She stayed there. She wasn't going to eat. She is earnest with God. She wants help. Now, you have to remember now, the women back in those days, if they didn't have children to support them when they got old and their husband died, they starved to death. That's what happened. No one took care of them.
Before the church, after the church, the women, the church was supposed to take care of that.
The church was a very social program in the early days. They called churches communists, even. Some of the countries, you know, they said they were communists because they took care of each other.
They
took care. They took things in common. In a church, church bodies took care of each other. They took care of each other. They fed all the widows. They took care of the orphans and all of that. They took care of that. It was a very social society, okay? All right, Brother Walls, sorry, Brother Floyd, number 13.
Hannah was speaking in her heart. None of her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman.
All right, took her to be a drunk. She was praying in her heart, wasn't she? You ever pray in your heart? All right, that's what she's doing. And she stayed there. She was praying outside that tabernacle area somewhere. She was praying out there. Okay? So Eli thought she was drunk, and now he castigates her, Brother David, number 14.
So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.
All right. Get rid of that bottle of Ripple. That's okay. I mean, it's like the old wine on you to drink. Huh? Yeah, Ripple. Ripple and cocaine. And this was a cheap wine. This is the one that all they did was they had a lot of alcohol in it and they got drunk. They got cirrhosis of the liver early and died, okay? That was it. Put the cheap wine away, woman, and sober up. Now the priest even gets after her. Now she's in more trouble. All right, young lady, you want to read number 15?
Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord.
I haven't been drinking wine or beer. All right? I haven't had any Jim Beam today. No Granddad or Canadian Mist or anything like that. I'm sober.
Do you know the
name for
all that stuff?
Yeah, I know the
name for all that stuff.
Do they have beers in those days? No.
Well, they had all kinds of alcoholic beverages of those kinds. They had more than what we think about, okay? That's that translation there. What kind of translation is it?
New International Version.
New International Version. All right. Number 16. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. All right. Now we got past the beer and the wine and the toke and the bripple and all that stuff. Okay. Brother Brett, number 16.
Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken hereunto.
We ought to have a better translation than that.
I know.
That's James. All right. He's bringing you a Bible of New American Standard, a New International Version or something.
This is King James.
All right, Brother Mike, we ought to improve on that one.
Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman.
All right, listen, everybody. Say that, Brother Mike.
Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation.
All right. She had been provoked by this abrasive character that was her other husband's other wife. And now number 17, Joseph, are you there?
Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast of him.
All right. They go in peace. Shalom. That's what he said. Shalom. And may the God of Israel, may the El of Israel, the God of Israel, grant you your request. The word petition there, in Greek, it's deo. And when you make a petition to God, it means you bind your mind to God. It's something that you've been asking for many, many times. It's something that's on your heart all the time. And can you imagine that this woman wanted to have a child?
What does deo mean again?
What?
Deo?
Deo means to bind.
Oh.
All right? It means to bind your spirit and your mind to God. Okay? 1 Samuel 1 and 17. All right? Number 1 and 18 now, Brother David.
And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad.
All right. Her face was no longer sad. She smiled. She talked to the man of God, and he was going to give her the blessings of God now. So now her whole attitude changes. All right? She's happy. Okay? Now we're going to find out what happens. What's the rest of the story? 1 Samuel 1 and verse 19. Brother John, are you over there yet?
Yes, sir.
Now, these girls bought some real good food here today, too. So you can...
All right. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Who the food hog is, I'm trying to say.
Well, I just hate to see him go away, you know.
1 Samuel 1 and 19.
Yeah.
Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house of Ramah. And Ixcana knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her.
All right, number 20.
So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have passed him from the Lord.
All right, what's Samuel mean?
Something God. Something.
Well, L on the end of it.
Oh, strength in God.
All right, now, wait, no, it's not what it is. Let's look at it. Come on.
In Samuel,
now, you're not taking Hebrew, are you?
That's from you.
No, I mean, you're not here on Sunday afternoon. All right. Those that are here on Sunday afternoon, now, there's a what is the word in Hebrew for to hear?
Simeon.
Heard by God? Does that mean?
Simon. Or Simeon. All right. So what do we have here? God hears. That's what his name means. God heard or God hears. All right. That's what Samuel means. God hears or God heard my prayer. So now she's walking around proud. And she said, I have a baby. God heard my prayers. I'm no longer looked down upon. God bless me directly. He turned the situation around now. The old girl named abrasive and coarse, you know. Now, Peninnah, all right, Coral, that was her name. Now we have the one Grace. By grace she conceived, didn't she? How are we saved? By grace. All right, let's go on and hurry up here a little bit more. And then it says here, and the man Elkanah went up to his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. Okay? Number 22. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And then I will go and bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Now, we talked about how long children were nursed back in those days. A woman nursing a child was the insurance that the child was going to stay healthy. Remember we talked about the last 2 weeks, we talked about the two sons of Ruth's mother, Naomi, had two sons, and they were probably twins. And the two twins were sickly and unhealthy, and that's what their names meant, and almost to die. That's what their names meant, because they were twins, and they were, you know, there's not enough milk for two children most of the time with a woman. If you, out in the fields, a long time ago, if a lamb or if a sheep, a ewe, had three lambs, they would take one and kill it or give away because there wasn't enough milk there for three of them, so they would all die. Okay? Well, a woman would nurse a child sometimes up to 6 and 7 years. Okay? So maybe she nursed him up to 6 or 7 years. This was common back in these days. Okay?
And where it says the Lord, is it Elohim?
Elohim, yeah. The Lord, or Adonai, or Jehovah.
What does Samuel mean?
Samuel means heard of God.
Heard of God.
Or God hears. Okay, God hears. All right, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do and what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. May the Lord confirm it. Okay? So the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now, he wasn't a little bitty baby in diapers when she weaned him. I want you to understand that. But he was a young boy. He was a young boy. Okay? Now, when she had weaned him, she took him with her with a three-year-old bull and one measure of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was still young, but, I mean, he wasn't a man. He wasn't 12 years old. When did a Jewish boy become a man? 13 and 14 years old. The woman became a woman at 12. A woman became a woman at 12 years old. She was grown. Okay? The boy became different than today, isn't it?
We take a lot more time to grow up now,
don't we?
The woman matures.
The woman matures early.
Yeah.
A girl is usually mature. Mary may have been 13 or 14 years old when she married Joseph, okay? She may have been 13 or 14 years old when she married Joseph. It was not a woman at 12 years old was looked upon as mature. All right? Marrying age. Okay? Pretty young, but that's the way it was. But the boy was 13 or 14. Boys mature a little slower. All right? So he wasn't 13 or 14 years old. He was probably about 7 or 8 when she took him. He was still young. All right? Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. All right? To Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. Okay? And for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked for him. So now she is going to give him for the service of God for the rest of his life. Now he's never had a haircut. He's got long hair. Everybody can see that he's a Nazarite from a young child. And number 28, so I have dedicated him to the Lord. I have set aside him to the Lord, okay? As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. The boy did. The boy worshiped the Lord there. His mother had taught him these things. We should teach our children from the time they're very young that they are a special gift from God, and that we're supposed to be their overseers, and we're going to try to make out all the right decisions, take them to and let them. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, shouldn't we? That's what we should teach them.
Hannah did a good job with him because he was obedient.
Yes, he was.
To that vow.
Yes, he was.
And all his life he served the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And he didn't have a childhood, did he? What was his childhood? His childhood was not running around playing in the fields like the other kids. His childhood was serving in the house of God. Okay, that's what a childhood was, serving in the house of God. Now let's see in the second chapter there, we have Annas, her prayer of praise to God. Now she praises God now. She's walking off and leaving her child. All right, but she's praising God. Now not only this happened, we're going to find out some other things. And verse number 12, now we're going to skip over that. Actually, go back to verse number 12, or 11, in the second chapter. Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And now let's look and see what kind of sons that Eli had, Brother Bill. 2 and verse 12. All right, 2 and verse 12. Now, we use this word again.
Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord.
All right, they didn't know the Lord, and yet they were priests. They were raised by Eli and near the tabernacle of God. This is the tabernacle. This is where they've been ministering in here. Okay?
Their hearts were
right. Now, their hearts were not right with God. They were what they call preaching for money, so-called. These were the world's preachers. These were the devil's men. They were the devil's men. It says here that they were worthless men. Worthless men. They abused the people of God. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men, and they did not know the Lord. Okay.
Mine says scoundrels.
Scoundrels, yeah. Mine worthless men.
Mine says corrupt.
Corrupt.
Wicked. Mine says
wicked
men.
Wicked. All right, that's what they are. These are wicked people. These are wicked preachers. All right? Wicked ones. All right? And the and then in verse number 13, Joanna, would you read number 13 for me?
For their duties as priests, whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a three-pronged fork while the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling.
All right, now this was against the law. They weren't supposed to do this. But these were greedy guts. You know, greed is the most horrible sin among God's people of all the ages. It's been there since the beginning of time. Greed and what's the other one?
Lust.
Pride. Greed and pride. There's the two basic sins. All right? Lust. Greed, you want more than what you're supposed to get. You know, all of that. Number 14, and then he would thrust into the pan and the kettle and the cauldron and the pot, all the pork brought up, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the men who was sacrificing, give the priest meat for roasting, and he will not take boiled meat from the you only raw. They were supposed to have the boiled meat, but they wanted raw meat. They wanted the best. Okay? And if the man said to them, they must surely burn, all right, the fat first. The fat in all the meat was whose? The fat in all the meat was whose fat? Whose was it? The Lord's. They couldn't have the fat. They wanted the fat. The fat was always satisfied as the Lord's, and it was burned on the altar. Fat burns, doesn't it? Now today, we know that fat's not so good for you, is it? All
back
right.
Then they didn't have a lot, though.
Huh?
But back then they didn't have so much stuff.
All right. But they wanted the fat. The fat was the Lord's, okay? The Lord was watching out for them. They didn't even know it. All right. And if a man said to them, they must surely burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire, and they would say, no. You shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. They were reprobates. You know what reprobates are? What's a reprobate?
They take something back, isn't it?
Reprobate. Huh?
They turned away.
Someone that has denied the faith.
It isn't turned away after being.
Someone that has denied the faith. They heard the truth and absolutely wouldn't listen. they rejected the truth. That's a reprobate. Someone that has rejected the truth. Reprobates. All right? Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, and the men despised the offerings of the Lord. They despised them. Here are the priests, and they're despising the presence that God has taken to these people. Year after year, when she came up with her husband to offer, the yearly, well, where am I?
18.
18, okay. Alright, 18. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod, a white ephod. Now was he righteous? White stands for what? Righteousness. These other boys weren't, I'll tell you that much. They weren't, they may as well put on black clothes because they were sinners. And his mother made him a little robe and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, may the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord. And they went on their way home. And the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. So God is continuing to bless her now. This old girl named Coral, the abrasive one, she has nothing else to insult this woman with anymore, does she? Now let's look and see what happens in verse number 22. Brother Mike. Verse number 22.
Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting.
Not this sound like Catholic priest, does it? Sound like a bunch of Catholic priests. Here we have, right out here, they were seducing the women that brought the offerings and were molesting them right here in front of everybody. That's horrible. I think it was 1123 A.D., the Catholic Church devised the inscrupulous, lascivious, perverted doctrine of celibacy among the priests. And from that time on, the Catholic Church had trouble with this. From that time on, children have been molested, women have been raped by their priests. And we have an explosion of it today because it's been in the media. All right, all over. But when it started was 1123 A.D. All right. Well, here we have B.C. Now we have the same type situation, except it's not celibacy. These boys are just, these are reprobates. These boys are. Okay.
Weren't the priests?
They could have women.
They were married.
All right, but when they went into service, they weren't supposed to be with their wives. Okay. They were supposed, when they went into service for 30 days or 20 days or whatever it was, they could not go near their wives. They were not allowed that pleasure.
Was Samuel allowed to get married when he got older, old enough?
Well, we're going to find out. All right.
Settle down.
Okay. Settle down.
All right. Wasn't there something on the news or the paper the other day that the Catholics are looking at getting rid of that celibacy now for the priests?
Yeah, they're allowing all the Anglicans to come back and the Anglican priests to come back into the Catholic Church, and the ones that are married can remain married. If they want to get married, they can get married. So they're dropping the thing because, you know what? Celibacy has caused them a lot of trouble. Anytime you go away from the Word of God, celibacy is not ordained of God. That's what pagan religions did.
Celibacy?
Yeah, pagans. Your monks and your Buddhists and all that. Okay? That's an unnatural thing. God gave men, women, and women, men, and He did that. He designed this exactly perfect. All right? To love each other and everything. Marriage is an honorable thing. Okay?
What was the purpose of the Catholic Church to start
it? They wanted to look holy, and they copied paganism. Paganism. Because of the pagan world, they did this. But, yes.
Do you think it was like they kind of lived through works?
What?
They're trying to show they lived through works almost in a way?
Well, it's When you start off on a false premise, you just end up in a mess, don't you? And that evolution of the Catholic Church, just go back and listen. Get the book of what they call the Trail of Blood and go in that little chart back there. I've got one with me. It shows the evolution of the Catholic Church. The first thing they did was go lax on church discipline, and from there on, boy, I mean, it just went on downhill. Just zip. And if you've ever taken the classes that I taught on church history, you will see that, how it evolved. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further, and then we're going to quit it for today. And now Eli, he's castigating his children. He probably should have used the bullwhip on them when they were a little early. When they were children. Brother Brett, number 23.
And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear your evil dealings by all these people.
All right. Know, my son, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of the Father, and for the Lord desired to put them to death. This is what you call a mark. This is what you call a sin caused death. They deserve death. We go on. All right. And then in the third chapter, God is going to replace them. And God begins to call Samuel. Alright? God begins to call Samuel right there in chapter 3. You have any questions? I'm going to... Yes.
That's why he's the one who hears?
What? One who hears. His name means one who hears, because Hannah prayed that God would hear her prayer and give her a child. And when God gave her a child, then here is the answer. God heard my prayer.
Samuel.
That's what his name is. God heard my prayer. Now, here we have Hannah. God's providence is unusual. I mean, it's just fantastic. We can't see the beginning from the end. God knows all that. Here we have the two sons. Now, these boys were bad all the time, okay? Eli's sons were always bad. So God decided to replace them with one that would hear. Okay? This little boy. And so this woman didn't have a child, so God puts it on her heart to go down, because she doesn't have a child. He puts it on her heart to go down to the tabernacle and to pray to God. And if God hears her, she is going to dedicate this child. And guess what? This child that she's going to dedicate is going to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, basically. Not only that, but he's going to be one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And God's going to get rid of these two worthless, reprobate characters. Now, see how God works? Now, it's beautiful. All right?
So, is Jesus a Nazarene or Nazarite? Or Nazarene a place?
Ask me that again.
Okay, a Nazarite is like Samson, right?
That's right. Samson and Samuel.
He's not a priest. He's like an evangelist almost.
Huh?
He's like an evangelist in a way. He's not a priest. He carries the Lord's name. But he's not a priest.
Start back over again. You're going too far.
Oh. Okay, Samuel, remember? Or uh-huh. Samson. He was a
Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite.
Okay.
Why didn't keep very many vows, did he?
No.
Well, what's the first question you asked me?
Was Jesus. He has no hair.
No, Jesus was not ever a Nazarite.
He was a Nazarene.
He was a Nazarene because he was born from a city. That's like you're a Baker Sylvia.
Okay. We know that because he came near dead people that he wasn't allowed to do. And
he did. He would have been breaking the law by drinking wine, which he did. A Nazarite, Samuel never drank wine. Never. You know, they used to even bring wine to the tabernacle for offering. We saw Hannah do that. But he couldn't drink wine, nor could he eat grapes or raisins or anything like that. He had to swear off of that. He could never eat those things.
So Nazarene is like someone who was built, or Nazareth is someone like who was born
in
the city.
He was from Nazareth.
The city.
Yeah.
The city of
Nazareth. Jesus was not a Nazarite.
Eli was not a Nazarite?
Eli evidently wasn't a Nazarite. He was a priest. Anyway. And a Nazarite was a volunteer priest.
Uh-huh.
But you had more restrictions on being a volunteer priest than you did being a priest. Okay?
So he'd be like an evangelist? A Nazarite?
A Nazarite was a volunteer priest. He was a walking testimony. Period. When they saw his long hair, they knew that he was a Nazarite. So he is this is a man of God. Okay. When they saw him, we know that this is a man of God. They didn't wear long hair unless they were a man of God. They didn't wear long hair unless they were willing to walk the walk. Now, what happens to Samson?
He's a jokester.
He was a jokester. He was a jokester. All right. Brother Bill. Yep, I'm ready for you. It's your turn. Thank you for your attention. And I hope this lesson that you learned something from it. We're going to go from there. From now on, we're going to skip a little faster. We're going to go through all of these six books pretty rapid. All right? And then we're going to go and in a kind of like a brief period, we're going to cover all of the books of the Old Testament, all of them. We're going to go through every one, but we're going to do it briefly. All right? And then we're going to go into the New Testament in depth. Through every book in the New Testament. We're going to go through the whole Bible. That's why I gave you the book I wrote, the Old and New Testament Survey. We're going to do that. And it does that in the Bible in 8 ages. We're going to follow along in the Bible in 8 ages. Now, today, you were there, and we'll take up from there. When we go into the 8th chapter, we get over there, and then they ask for the king. We're in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. So all of these are simultaneous. They run together chronologically. So what we're doing, we're getting catched up. We're getting caught up to where they ask for a king. Okay? All right. Anything else before I give it to Bill? All right, Brother Bill.
Okay.